The inspired prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's certainly what's going on today in our society, is it not? Well, for example, how many statues have been torn down of historical figures, founding fathers, and so forth? And now, Dr. Seuss needs to be canceled, Mr. Potato Head, and so many other examples could be given. But here is what is acceptable by a number of people now, for men dressed up like women to be reading books to little children in the public libraries. So you can see how Isaiah 5:20 is clearly applying to our situation, sad to say, today. So let's study from Jeremiah 26 this morning, as we'll find a divine sermon was answered with a cry of death. In other words, they wanted to cancel out an inspired spokesman. And so we'll want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And hopefully we're all doing just that. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville, as yes, we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then, as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. And yes, we're still practicing those safe measures. And something else we want to mention is having Bible studies. That's something we really look forward to being able to be involved with. And also, of course, your Bible questions and comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're going to Jeremiah chapter 26. But before we begin reading from Jeremiah 26, let me give the background here. As Jehoiakim, he was not a good king like his father Josiah, sad to say. No, but he was evil and rebellious, as you can read in chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. And thus, Judah's sins had provoked God's wrath, and destruction awaited Judah. This would be the southern kingdom, of course, as we're seeing in the previous chapters. So when we come to chapter 26, Jeremiah was to deliver God's word in the court of the temple to the priest, the prophets, and the people. That would be seen there in verse 7. Now, what happened in this warning as Jeremiah is giving the people the opportunity to repent? Yes, they had the choice to heed or to reject God's warning, as we're going to study what took place there at that time. So let's begin now with verse 2 of Jeremiah 26. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. That would be the temple, of course. And speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. Now notice, what was Jeremiah to speak? All the words that I command thee to speak unto them diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. There's the warning. But notice, God tells Jeremiah, diminish, not a word. That's right. Jeremiah is not to leave out not even one word when he's delivering God's message to the people. And of course, he wasn't to add to God's word either. And this, of course, was established in the Old Testament and, of course, in the New Testament. And we're under that today, the law of Christ. Well, notice Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Remember how Satan changed God's word by adding one word, N-O-T. Ye shall not surely die. God said you would if you ate of the forbidden fruit. Genesis 3:4 is where Satan added one word. And you see in John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. And that's where it began, in the Garden of Eden. And we know the results of Satan telling that lie. Eve gave in to the temptation and took of the forbidden fruit and ate and gave it to her husband Adam, and he did eat. And they were cast out of paradise. Yes, the Garden of Eden was no longer their home, but sin came forth. And this, of course, was a tragic situation, was it not? We certainly would see that. Now, Proverbs 30:6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Well, we don't want to be found a liar, do we? So let's not add unto the word of God. And of course, in the New Testament, Revelation 21:18-19. Yes, we're not to add to the word of God. We're not to take away from God's word. Now, the context there was, yes, the book of the Revelation, but it certainly applies to all of the New Testament as well as the Old. So let's keep that in mind and not add to nor take away from God's word. Now, let me mention something here, because sometimes one may make a true statement and at the same time deceive the hearers. And I want to give some examples of this. A preacher might say, we're saved by the grace of God, but leave out the truth that man must do something in order to be saved. So, saying that we're saved by the grace of God is a true statement, without question. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to ask the question, not of works. Does that eliminate all works, or is that speaking of meritorious works, those things that you could boast about? Well, I've just come up with a cure for the COVID-19 virus. I've just come up with a cure for cancer. Does that mean I'm going to have salvation? No, it does not. You cannot earn the death of Christ. This is what's being spoken of here, not of works, lest any man should boast. But notice verse 10, which is often left out. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So here's the works that are included. Now, these would be works of righteousness, submitting to the word of God, submitting to the gospel of Christ, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's something everybody needs to understand. There's different kinds of works, included and excluded. Meritorious, excluded. Works of righteousness, included. But let me give you another example where a preacher might make a true statement but mislead his hearers. Someone might say, well, the Bible does not explicitly state that it's wrong to use mechanical instruments in the worship service. Well, it does not. It's not found where that's explicitly stated in such a way. But the Bible does give a specific command, and that is we are to sing. And that eliminates every other type of music. Notice with me Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, how do you do that? With a mechanical instrument, you can't speak to one another that way. You can do it with your voice, speaking words as you're singing the words. And notice, singing, there's the specific command. You can't get around that. I can't get around that. That's what it says, singing and making melody. Where? Only the strings of an instrument? No. In your heart to the Lord. That's where the melody is to be made. Now let's stay with the scriptures. Colossians 3:16 and 17 also. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How do you do that? With an instrument that's made by man? No, with the instrument God gave us, the voice. That's how you do it. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. There it is, specific. With grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's by His authority, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's stay with the Bible. Now, I'll give you another illustration here. The Bible does not explicitly state it's wrong to play bingo during the worship service. It doesn't say that, does it? Well, of course not. But who would teach that it's pleasing to God to play bingo as part of the worship service? You see, the Bible doesn't contain everything that we're not to do, but it tells us what we are to do, and that eliminates all the other things. It doesn't have to tell us everything. When you go and buy a pair of shoes, you don't tell them, do not bring me all the different sizes that I can't wear. No, you tell them what size you want to wear. And that eliminates everything else, doesn't it? Let's be reasonable and stay with the Bible. Now, let's go on in our study to verse 4 in Jeremiah 26. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. And so the priest and the prophets and all the people, notice that, heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So Jeremiah delivers God's word to the people. That's what we're seeing here. And we should understand God's word is powerful, all powerful. In fact, you see it's likening unto fire several times here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5:14, for example. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah became discouraged, did he not? Well, it says that, doesn't it? I will not make mention of him. Well, he changed his mind real quick, did he not? Because the word was in his heart as a burning fire. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? We need to appreciate the power of God's word. And I don't understand why so many want to try and water down the gospel and think that they're actually helping God. That's not working out, is it? Romans 1:16, the inspired apostle Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." Yes, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That would be the Gentiles. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what do we find? The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, isn't it? Well, we know that it is. And this is the powerful word of God. It's quick, it's alive and powerful. And it cuts both ways, sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice that. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to appreciate the Word of God as God's powerful message that will change lives, our lives. If we have obeyed the gospel, they're changed, are they not? The power is in the message. It's not in the man. 1 Corinthians 9:16-18. The Apostle Paul understood that, and we need to understand it as well. So, as preachers, we need to ask ourselves, whose doctrine am I preaching? Well, it better be the doctrine of Christ, or we're false teachers. Luke 4:32, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." And that's what we need to stay with, the power of God's message. But let's go on in our study now. We'll pick back up here at verse 8 of Jeremiah 26. Excuse me. Jeremiah 8. "Now, it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priest and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die." In other words, they wanted to cancel out the preacher here. "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears." So the people despise the message of God. Now that's disheartening, isn't it? When people do not want to hear the truth, they prefer a lie. That's really disheartening. So you're seeing the reaction to God's warning. Kill the preacher. Let's cancel him out. That's what's going on today, isn't it, with the cancel culture? Do away with things we think are offensive. And certainly those preaching and teaching the truth are going to offend people that are living in sin and don't want to get out of it. So we need to be prepared. You see, these people here in Jeremiah 26, we're more concerned about the temple in the city of Jerusalem than walking in the old paths, as Jeremiah declared in chapter 6, verse 16. Imagine being so angry that they want Jeremiah killed, thinking that that's going to remove the problem of their guilt. Well, it doesn't. Of course not. So let's ask ourselves this question. What is our response to God's message? Now that's important, isn't it? We need to answer it, all of us, because if we're getting mad at the preacher and hardening our neck, we're not going to be pleasing God. We must gladly receive the word like they did in Acts 2:41. Yes, then those that gladly receive the word, They obeyed the gospel. They were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. But you see, in chapter 7, just the opposite. People hardened their hearts. In chapter 7, verse 51, what did they want to do to Stephen? Not only did they want to, but they did. They stoned him to death. Yes, two different reactions. We better respond properly to the word of God. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Proverbs 3, verse 11. When the word of God pricks our hearts, we need to respond. We must not despise the preacher who's preaching God's word. If we're doing that, we're really despising God. Now, preachers need to preach the truth in love and do their job in the correct, their responsibilities, hold to those responsibilities. But we need to accept God's word. That's the point, isn't it? Now, in verse 12, let's go on and notice that Jeremiah is going to defend himself. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent, that is, he's going to change what he intended to do. The Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Now, that's a defense that stands out, doesn't it? Jeremiah's choice is not to back up from the truth, nor to quit preaching the word of God, as so many have done today, sad to say. Because people get intimidated when they're threatened. Well, is it more serious? Is it not more serious to provoke God's wrath? Are we concerned about what man can do to us or what God can do to us? You see, man can't take away our salvation, but if we sin against God and turn away from the truth, well, what then? We better think about these things, all of us. You see, Jeremiah is not only defending himself, but he's defending the truth. It is the word of God that's being preached, not Jeremiah's opinions. Go back to chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We cannot direct our own steps, but God can, if we'll let him, by accepting his word. Notice Paul and Stephen as examples of gospel preachers in the New Testament. They would not waver from preaching the needed message, and they certainly would defend the truth. Stephen was stoned to death for preaching God's word. Acts 7, 2 through 56. And Paul, of course, wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 by inspiration 11 and 12, yes, he's getting ready to be martyred, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. Amen, Paul. That's what we all need to hold to. Be committed. And we're not going to be ashamed as we love God and his word. Now, Philippians 1:7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as in my bonds, writing from prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Are we defenders of the gospel and have that confirmation? Yes, Paul was set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1:17. But let's go on before our time is gone. Verses 16 through 19. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priest and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us the name of the Lord our God. They finally woke up. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morazite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah king of Judah and all Judah put him and all to death? The question is asked. Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. So the elders decide it's not wise to take Jeremiah's life. Well, these rulers realize Jeremiah is speaking by the authority of God. And not only elders in the Lord's church today need to recognize biblical authority, but every member, of course, as we noted in Colossians 3:17. The church needs godly men to be appointed as elders who meet the qualifications, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. And men who hold fast the truth. And you know, the problem, as we wished we could end right here, because they did acknowledge Jeremiah was speaking the truth, but as you go on and read 20 through 24, Jeremiah was spared, but another prophet would be killed. And so, as we note in the New Testament, yes, James the apostle was the first one martyred. And of course, the New Testament doesn't reveal the other apostles' death, but history does, with the exception of John. They were all prepared to die for the cause of Christ. Yes, and let's ask ourselves, are we ready to die for the cause of Christ? Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Jesus has promised it. And Jesus keeps his promises, not like man. So what is our attitude towards God's word as we close out? One can remove the messenger and close their ears to the message of God, but you cannot escape the outcome. And when our conscience is pricked, what will be our answer? The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. Let's be sure and answer our conscience and receive with joy the word of God, and we'll be pleasing unto God, and we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we'll study further. And we thank you so much for listening today.